You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. We just heard about the resignation of Milwaukee Public Schools Superintendent Keith Posley and the struggles the district is facing. Now we'll dig into what led up to the problems at MPS and what's gone wrong with their finances. To help us better understand the local politics of MPS and who's involved in what happens with the state's largest school district, Lake Effect's Jimmy Gutierrez is joined by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel education reporter Rory Linane to break it all down.
I think a starting point for a lot of people, myself included, might be just to understand the basic players and what they do. So can we start with a breakdown of what MPS's superintendent, school board, and DPI all do and how they interact?
At the top of who's most in charge of the school district would be the school board. The democratically elected school board is at the top of the chart, and they have control to hire and fire the superintendent. But the superintendent also has a lot of decision-making power. That person can hire and fire everyone below the superintendent and is in charge for the financial management of the school district, for putting together a budget. The school board ultimately can amend and approve that budget, but the superintendent is the one who's putting that forward. And then the State Department of Public Instruction has somewhat of a regulatory role or an oversight role, and they determine how much funding the school district is going to get from the state, although that's also determined by lawmakers.
You know, we're here because something within this relationship went terribly wrong. Can you just kind of high level break down how do we get here and what happened?
So basically, there were severe problems within the finance office of Milwaukee Public Schools. One major problem was high number of vacancies, high rate of turnover, a lack of institutional knowledge, a lack of training for the staff in that office. On top of that, they were not using a good system for their accounting. So they had a software system that seemingly should be able to do what they needed it to do. They weren't using that system for everything. They were using like a series of Excel spreadsheets to get some of their tasks done. And that's what introduced a lot of opportunities for error, especially when you combine that with an inexperienced staff. So that has been a problem for over a year. More recently, the Department of Public Instruction, who needs these reports from MPS to put their aid estimates together, grew more frustrated because they weren't getting those. Not only were the reports late, but they were so late that it was holding up DPI from getting together their important aid estimates. And as this problem was escalating, this is where there seems to have been a breakdown in communication. So the school board was aware of some of the major problems in the finance office around staffing, but they weren't really aware, from what I've heard, about the problems around the software and the spreadsheets, and they also weren't aware that DPI was escalating and having daily meetings with administrators about how bad the situation was. So they were surprised, along with the public, in late May when DPI decided to kind of go over the heads of the superintendent and the administration straight to the school board and say, hey, you should know this is a big problem and we might start withholding your aid.
How unprecedented is it for DPI to go straight to the school board instead of interacting with the superintendent in the superintendent's office?
That they have not fully answered. We're still waiting for some clarity around that and when they have done that in the past, at what point they may have done that in the past. So I think that's where there's still some big questions and people want to understand why DPI waited so long to take that step. And DPI has said that it is kind of an extreme step to take, and they took it at this point because it got to the point where they needed the numbers to do their aid estimates, while others wish they would have brought this to the school board's attention earlier so that they would have had more time to start solving some of these issues before it got to this point.
Another part of this that I have to bring up to you, because when I first saw it felt like a draft of the correction action plan, which wasn't just one attempt, but even the second attempt, it was pretty embarrassing from what I had seen. And how did that happen? Who was responsible for that? And where does it stand now?
Yeah, so those first couple drafts, I don't know if they knew they were going to be made public, but when they were made public, they really tried to emphasize, you know, those were drafts. And they were put together by staff in the Office of Accountability and Efficiency, as well as the financial consultant that they brought in to help with this. Those drafts were really bare bones, lacking in a lot of teeth or information. But after those drafts, they submitted another one after some feedback from DPI, which are much more robust with specific timelines and goals and assignments of who's supposed to get those goals done.
The other thing is that this is all unfolding right after the referendum passed, which was a $252 million referendum, barely passed. And taxpayers are kind of filling in a gap of MPS's budget. And I attended last week's budget hearing where the upcoming budget actually passed. It was voted on and passed by the board. And a lot of community members were upset, I guess, to put it mildly, and use words like deceived, defrauded, lied to. What were you hearing about the referendum and MPS's finances a few months ago before we had heard anything from DPI, if you did hear anything?
At that point, I guess the main messaging was that state funding for public education has not kept pace with inflation, and MPS, like many school districts across the state, were needing to go to taxpayers to ask for more funding just to keep up with those rising costs. What wasn't very clear at that point was how messy MPS's accounting situation was. There had been public information about problems in the finance department, about understaffing, about late financial reports, but it wasn't clear at that point, especially that there had been errors, and definitely not errors of the magnitude that we're now just learning about from DPI.
So there's also been fallout from this, including some funding and people losing their jobs or stepping away from their jobs. What do we know there?
So the first person we saw lose a job after all of this was the superintendent. He decided to resign after a long school board meeting in which board members were discussing, you know, behind closed doors, the potential of terminating his position. But he decided to resign that night. The next day, basically, or that same night, very late, the chief financial officer signed a resignation form. But we didn't actually find out that she had resigned until more recently, when her resignation was effective. And then additionally, the comptroller for the district, he told me that he was fired from the district.
So I want to take you to the budget. When it did get passed, I was there in person. And obviously, all of these board meetings and open meetings have been very contentious. And one person I talked to was Angela Harris,
pro-public education supporter, Angela Harris,
the chair of the Black Educators Caucus. And something that caught my attention being there was that the union and educators in the Black Educators Caucus were not on the same page. And here's what she had to say about why.
I think for so long, the union was probably the loudest voice in that room. And a lot of times when the union comes out, it is often for bread and butter issues, which is paychecks and pensions and raises and things like that, and not for the actual things that the community is saying that our students need, which is more trauma support specialists, more programming like Black and Latino Male Achievement and gender inclusion and equity, and actually creating a budget that is built on equitable allocation of funding versus student-based allocation of funding. And so I think that's where you're seeing the clash happen, because today the union is asking for the budget to be passed on the mere fact that they, the district administration, has made this agreement with them, right, that they're going to get raises and all of these other things are going to happen. But they are not also asking for the transparency and accountability that the community is asking for.
I'm curious, what did you hear about why the union wanted to push this budget through? And again, something I heard a lot of in that room was there were still 2 weeks before the budget's due date. So basically 2 weeks to get a more complete picture of MPS's finances.
Yeah, what I heard from the union was that they wanted this budget to be approved as soon as possible so that staff would have some understanding of what their salaries would be for the upcoming school year, and principals could continue hiring for important positions in their schools without that kind of uncertainty. And especially, you know, with vacancies being such a big problem for Milwaukee Public Schools, I think they wanted to have that in place to keep that hiring going and keep staff confident in the district. But at the same time, we don't know how much funding MPS could be basically losing in the upcoming school year as a result of these errors. So there still are uncertainties, and there still is the possibility that there will be budget cuts before they, you know, finalize their budget in October.
Yeah, and you broke that story when this meeting was taking place. What are the financial implications? What do we know about happened there? And could could there be more money lost?
When DPI first notified the school board at the end of May about previous accounting errors, they did say this could result in the district getting less aid in the next school year because basically they were overpaid in the last school year because of those errors. You know, after that, eventually DPI said, we think maybe the consequence is going to be in the tens of millions. And then right before that meeting is when they gave me the estimate of 35 to 50 million. I did get to talk to the vice president of the board about those numbers right before the meeting and asked how the board might handle that because they do have a few options. Basically, they could still spend the same amount of money but take more money from local taxpayers to make up for what they're not getting from the state, or they could look to make budget cuts, or they could dip into their fund balance, like their savings account, to keep it going. And the vice president of the school board, Jilly Gokul Gandhi, basically said that they're going to seek to limit the impact on taxpayers. So if that is indeed the direction the board takes, that could mean budget cuts.
It's nice that folks are paying more attention to MPS and everything that's happening here, but so much to keep up with. One last thing is Angela did have a parting note on if you do feel like your head is spinning and are trying to make sense of this, there is help out there.
Definitely organizations in the city that are doing a really good job of informing the community of just the basic things, right? Like, how do you show up at a school board meeting? How do you testify? What are the things that you need to know? So definitely be on the lookout for those education groups. And then the news is also doing a really good job right now of keeping the community informed about what's happening as it's happening, which hasn't happened in the past in Milwaukee in terms of education. And so definitely pay attention to your news, pay attention to social media, and also don't be afraid to ask folks, right? Like, what is going on with Milwaukee Public Schools? Because everybody has a little bit of an idea, and the more information that we can get out to the community about what's happening, the better we all will be.
That was Angela Harris from the Black Educators Caucus and Rory Linane, education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They both spoke with LegFX's Jimmy Gutierrez. If you want to learn more about this issue, the Wisconsin Policy Forum put out a report that raised questions about the multi-million-dollar referendum that Jimmy mentioned in that conversation. You can find that at wuwm.com.